For Connecticut Public Radio, I'm John Henry Smith. While 2020 will obviously be remembered for the introduction of the coronavirus and the world's racial reckoning after the death of George Floyd, one of the things 2021 is sure to be remembered for is the ugly rise in attacks on Asian Americans across this country. Joining us today is Connecticut's first Asian American Attorney General, William Tong. First, sir, what is the prevailing emotion you feel and that other Asian Americans close to you feel right now? Is it fear? Is it exasperation? Or do you detect any fight fire with fire thought process developing as anger grows?
Yeah, it's all of those things, John Henry, and thank you for having me on. Good to speak with you again, and thank you for calling attention to this really important issue. Let me start by saying it didn't just start in 2021, and there was a huge spike in 2020, but it didn't start then either. This has been with us for a very long time, and I think one of the hardest things about this moment is that people express their surprise to me that Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders are subject to hate and racism and discrimination. And of course, it's happened for a very long time, from the murders of Indian workers in Kansas in 2017, post 9/11 assaults and murders, the Chinese Exclusion Act, and of course, the internment of 125,000 Japanese American citizens in camps on American soil during World War II, when we scapegoated them for Pearl Harbor and blamed them for Pearl Harbor. So this is something that we've had to contend with for a very long time.
And of course, every person of color can relate to what you're saying. I, as a black man, I can absolutely relate to that. To what degree have you, in this moment, have you noticed any sort of solidarity between people of color and in terms of this shared experience?
Yeah, well, it's not only is there solidarity, but this week in particular has really shown how much we're in this together, because at the same time that we're talking about incidents of hate and bias against Asian Americans, and we're seeing these two videos in particular in the last 48 hours coming out of New York, the first of a young man beaten being beaten unconscious on a subway, and then a woman being kicked to the ground on the street and brutalized. We're also being assaulted by the images of the murder of George Floyd during the trial of Derek Chauvin. So this has put a real focus on how all of us are in this together and subject to similar abuse and treatment. I think what's hard, though, and again, getting back to the surprise that people express to me, is that for a long time, and we talk about this racial reckoning that the country is engaging in, for a long time and too often, Asian Americans and Pacific Islanders are invisible in that conversation about race and racism. People don't know that it happens to us. They wonder if we even should be part of that conversation. When I was a state representative and I was leading the debate on the House of on the floor of the House of Representatives about an excessive use of force law, a colleague asked me on the floor during debate, do Asian Americans count as people of color? And it's that kind of ignorance that forces us sometimes into the shadows and makes us invisible in this conversation, and that's very hurtful and damaging too.
Now, that's not the same comment. That was that Representative Michael Winkler, or was that another person making that comment?
That was another person. You know, Representative Winkler's comments last week were also symptomatic of the same problem when he said that Asian Americans don't experience discrimination. And I know Representative Winkler. I know he's a smart and educated and dedicated public servant. I know he knows the history of Japanese internment. But it just demonstrates that even if people should know, do know, they make statements that deny, you know, that deny the history, deny the truth of people's suffering, that, and in that way dehumanizes us, you know, to just totally forget about all of the hate and racism that's directed against our community.
What conversations are you having with your family, your loved ones right now?
You know, I'm just trying to help my kids understand how to stay safe, frankly, as I talk to other family members and Asian Americans. We try to articulate for each other and support each other, but we try to express to each other what it feels like to be targeted and how it feels to wake up in the morning, go outside, and to feel like you're being hunted, and how we protect our kids and, frankly, older members of our family from the risks that they may face outside every day, you know, at school, at work, in a supermarket.
Yeah, it's sad that it's come to, well, I say it's sad. I was about to say it's sad that it's come to this, but it's sad that it's been like this and continues to be like this.
Yeah.
Am I, let's move this conversation to a more official level. Am I correct in saying that you are currently not empowered to enforce hate crime laws? And if so, is that subject to change?
Yeah, so I have a bill before the General Assembly that was just passed by the Judiciary Committee. It's my civil rights bill to give the Attorney General civil rights authority here in Connecticut. Many people are surprised to hear that the Attorney General does not have a civil rights division or department like most other states do. But we don't have one, and there isn't a law that allows us or authorizes us to do that. And part of that bill, Section 1, actually affirmatively authorizes and instructs the Office of the Attorney General and me to enforce our state's hate crimes laws. We have very strong hate crimes laws, but they're almost entirely criminal in nature. And what we need are robust enforcement mechanisms that allow the Office of the Attorney General to pursue civil penalties and relief to stop people from committing hate crimes and encroaching on the civil rights of other people.
For those out there who want to call their local legislator and in support of this bill, what is the title of this bill?
I don't have it right in front of me,
okay.
But it's the Attorney General's Civil Rights Bill, and it's been covered, you know, in the press. So if you Google it, it shouldn't be hard to find.
There you go. What else can your office do to fight this wave of violence against Asian Americans?
So as you know, I work very closely with my colleagues across the country. And I actually had a conversation about this just on Friday with the vice president when the vice president was in Meriden, and she's a former attorney general. And so I said to Kamala, I said, AGs are putting together a national convening in discussion about these issues. I'm working on that right now. I'm working with Attorney General Racine of Washington, D.C., and other states in trying to pull people together for a national conversation and convening on these issues, and then turn that into action. Many states need to strengthen their hate crimes laws. Many states need to make sure that there's both criminal and civil penalties, and that offices of the Attorney General, like mine, are empowered to enforce those laws. So I'm working really closely with my AG colleagues across the country, making sure that we confront this everywhere.
I don't know if you saw the ad taken out in the Wall Street Journal this week.
I did.
By 1,000 Asian business people decrying the violence and calling for change. How important is the reaction of the business community to reacting to that situation and improving it?
It's hugely important, and frankly, money talks, you know, and it's really important that the business community is putting resources, more than $10 million behind this to start, to not just raise awareness, but to put resources in to helping stop hate crimes, education, local enforcement in every state and community, training programs for law enforcement, for example. So all of that is incredibly powerful, and having the private sector as a partner is a huge help, and isn't coming at a moment too soon.
Have you been satisfied by what you've heard from state law enforcement about provisions they're making to respond to this wave of violence?
I have, and I've been heartened by the governor's response. As soon as it happened, he called me up, and just a small thing. He and I met, and we got some Chinese takeout, and that may sound minor to you, but he just wanted to be there for the community. And so he and I got together and talked to some local Asian Americans in getting some food. And then on top of that, he's very supportive of my civil rights bill. I think he's going to be doing even more on hate crimes enforcement himself. And I want to thank the president just this week for announcing a new initiative at the Department of Justice to fund an initiative to stop hate crimes against Asian Americans and to fight hate crimes against Asian Americans. You know, John Henry, I should note, when I first got elected, I went to a meeting of attorneys general in Washington, D.C., and this was under President Trump. And one of the first briefings I received, official briefings, was from the FBI. And they said that the rise in hate and violent extremism was the number one domestic terror threat. And now we're seeing how true that is.
Indeed. I mean, and it's permeated so many of our institutions. It's permeated the military. It's permeated law enforcement. It's permeated some halls of government. It's a problem that seems to be taking roots, and I'm not sure where we go from here.
I would say I don't know if it's really taken root so much as it's always been there. And you know, President Trump lit the match when he called the coronavirus the China virus or the Kung flu, and ridiculed and belittled Asian Americans. But I think what he did was he stirred up feelings that have been there for a long time. And he encouraged people to act out in ways that they have acted out before. And so what I'm grateful for is you, John Henry, and others giving voice to this, giving me a platform, thank you, today, to talk about it. I'm grateful for the people of this state for giving me the opportunity to serve as Attorney General, because it matters. Representation matters.
Absolutely.
And it matters that there's an Asian American Attorney General here in the state.
Absolutely. There's a Senate bill 678 in the General Assembly right now. It would mandate Asian American studies in school curriculum. And
yeah.
I think where I'm going with this is sort of what we just discussed about what we do about you know, changing hearts and minds and changing the situation. Would that sort of education help ease bias against Asian Americans or Pacific Islanders more so than swift and severe consequences should someone act on their racist ideations? What's more important?
I don't think you can say one is more important than the other. They're all part of a set of solutions and tools that we have to deploy. But education's incredibly important. I just talked about that, the fact that people don't acknowledge the history of racism and discrimination. There are a lot of young people who don't know that during World War II, in what has been described as the War of Japanese Aggression, that 12 million Chinese and Koreans were killed and murdered in a genocide during World War II.
And similar things did not happen to Germans, by the way.
Right, at the same time that the Holocaust was raging. And that history, if we don't teach it, will be lost. And I think people also, if you don't teach that history, they don't understand what common bonds they have with each other. You know, the advent of sort of mass Chinese migration to this country to help build the transcontinental railroad, you know, that occurred in part post-slavery. And there's a reason for that, because the people building the transcontinental railroad wanted cheap labor, disposable labor, because slavery had been abolished, and they looked to Chinese laborers who were essentially indentured servants and treated like chattel and property. And those workers toiled and died, you know, nameless along the way in basically connecting our country from coast to coast. That history is not the same, but it is similar and has aspects of the experience of African Americans and Latinx Americans and other people in marginalized communities or in minorities. And if you don't tell that history, we don't know that about each other, right? And then we can't pull that history together and use that as a basis to draw closer to each other and to advocate together for change.
And you also saw examples in history where minorities and immigrants were pitted against one another. The people in charge would say, well, those people are coming to take your jobs. You should go take up sticks and beat them or something. And it happened in coal mining country where my family's from, coal mining, West Virginia.
It happened to a man named Vincent Chin.
Exactly.
Who was beaten to death in Detroit, Michigan. And, high schoolers today, kids my 15-year-old daughter's age, they probably don't know about Vincent Chin. And that's not good, right? They need to know that history.
I'm from Detroit. I know all about Vincent Chin.
You know all about Vincent Chin.
That's exactly right. I remember when it happened and the news stories and all of that. So yeah, I remember that very well. He is Connecticut Attorney General William Tong. Good talk, Mr. AG.
Thank you for having me.